Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Psalms, chapter 37, or division 37, verse 1, Psalm 37, 1.
Verse 1 of Psalm 37 reads this way. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Again, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together in your house as your people. And then, Lord, knowing that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your promise, Lord, of being in our midst. We ask for your blessing. We pray for the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you. And, Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, that you might be honored and glorified in our lives, empowered and drawn closer to you. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, "Fret Not Thyself." Fret not thyself. And the Lord mentions this a couple times. If you look at verse 7, he says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." And then what? "Fret not thyself." Verse 8 reads this way, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath." And then he says, "Fret not thyself in any wise." And so when God mentions something, it's important. If he mentions it twice, I think he wants us to think about it. If he mentions it the third time, I think he really wants us to hone in and enjoy this precious promise that God has given to the child of God. And he's wanting us to understand that we don't have to fret, or that we would say worry ourselves. And so God doesn't want us to worry. Raise your hand if you've never worried before. Isn't that amazing? That's a universal emotion, isn't it? We all worry about things. And yet God says, don't fret yourself. Because he's in control, and that is something that God needs to bring us. These are all places, listen, salvation. If God's not working, we're not going to be saved, amen? There's no eternal life unless the Father draws and convicts us with the Holy Spirit. And so from the very beginning and all the way through our life, it is the work of the Lord that he is accomplishing in our lives. And so what he's wanting us to understand is he's given us promises that we can count on. Isn't that true? We can count on his promise, his word, better than any other human being. God's word, God's promise, they're interchangeable, aren't they? His word is his promise. And when he gives us his word, we can count on it. And so the only difficulty is understanding that we must ask God to bring us into all these truths that we might walk in them. Again, I just want to, just by mentioning quickly, Abraham and Sarah, they both laughed at the promise of God. They weren't laughing at God, I'm convinced of that, but they certainly were laughing at their ability to perform what God was asking of them, or what God promised to do for them. That's what he did. But he said, "Oh, listen, look at me, who I'm almost 100 years old, and look at Sarah, she's 10 years my senior. Really, can this really take place?" So what was he looking at? He was looking at his age. He was looking at Sarah's age, and he was realizing that neither of them could accomplish that. Well, guess what? He was now ready to receive the promise of God in such a way that when God fulfilled it, would he praise himself? Would he look at himself and say, "Man, that, look how good I am," right? That we do that sometimes. Have you ever been maybe working on a project or something, and you're at your wit's end, and all of a sudden this thought pops into your head, "Well, flip it around, or do this, or do that," and all of a sudden it works. Boy, aren't we so genius? Instead of saying, "Oh God, thank you for help, because I was at my wit's end, and I thank you." See, oftentimes we think we have to do everything. We are involved, but God, listen, God said, "Abide in me as I abide in you." So if you're a saved child of God, that means God indwells you, does he not? He's given to us the earnest of the Spirit. And so these things are important, because this is how the Lord receives the honor and glory, and this is what places us in a right position to be the recipients of the promises of God. Fretting and doubting are not modes of faith, right, that God would have for us. So I want to look at a couple of things tonight. I want to look at our natural tendencies. The text also reveals a determined trust or faith in the Lord. Again, those words are interchangeable. And then the end result, why we should not fret. So let's look at our natural tendencies. And notice verse 1, he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Have you ever seen somebody on the road driving like a maniac? You ever seen that? And for a split second, you wish there was a police officer right there. Just for a split second. Maybe a little bit longer, right? Maybe you wish you were the police officer so you could pull them over and give them what for, right? Because they're endangering everybody's life. I kid you not, I think it was I-75 down there in Florida going from the Tampa area to visit my parents. And these guys were doing 90 or 100 miles an hour. Everybody was doing 70, 75. And these guys passed everybody, weaving in two cars, racing each other, weaving in and out of cars. And I'm telling you, they just went, I don't know, for until they went out of sight. They were just moving it. And I thought, man, they're going to kill somebody. They are going to kill somebody. And I'll tell you, at that moment, I wish there was a police officer just right there waiting to pull them over. Not because I wanted ill will on them, but because they were doing something that could be very harmful, not to them only, but to everybody else that was on the road. And so God says, listen, I want you to know, even that does not escape the eye of God. God sees all of these things. And those are trivial things, but there are other things that happen in life that people want justice, right? Even the lost world, believe it or not, they don't understand true justice without the Lord. Neither did we before we knew the Lord. But they want justice as well. I can't remember one of these fellows that go around and I think his name, Cummings, what was his name? What's the fellow out in California that witnesses to people? Living Waters, Comfort, Ray Comfort, right? He's, believe it or not, he's from Australia. Well, you can believe that because he's got an Australian accent, but he's a Jewish believer in the Lord. And so he goes around, he witnesses to these people, and this one lady gave him what for? He was telling her about the Lord and heaven and hell, and she would have none of it. She said, I don't believe in any of that, right? And then he started talking to her about Hitler, and she did not like Hitler. That was clearly seen. And Ray Comfort asked her this, well, where do you think Hitler is today? Do you know where she said? In hell. I thought she didn't believe in heaven or hell, but in hell. And he pointed that out to her, and he says, oh, and he wasn't trying to get her. But see, even the lost person wants justice, right? Wants equity to take place. And so that's our tendency, and that's a natural tendency, I believe, that God had placed in every human being. It's been perverted because of sin, and God wants to set us straight in understanding how we ought to walk in this world and not to be, how you say, fretting or worried because of evildoers. It says, verse 1, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Why would we be envious of them? Because they appear to be getting away with it. They appear to be getting the easy life, but they're not. They don't have the easy life. Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. My goodness, seasons change quickly, don't they? Are they changing a little faster? That's a real question. They seem like they're changing faster. Do you know, we were discussing, boy, it's dark all the time now. Dark in the morning, dark in the evening. But we are moving towards longer days, aren't we? We've already passed, well, amen, is right? We're going to run into summer. Let's not complain about the heat. No, you can complain about the heat if you want to, right? But we don't have to complain about things. God has been so good to us in spite of everything. So look at verse 2. He says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So he says, I want you to understand these are our natural tendencies because of evildoers. We want to see the right thing take place. We want to see the love of God taking place. But here's the truth. There's only one place the love of God will shine in this world, and that is through your life and mine. And that's God's plan. And so if we're fretting, there's no love there. There's just worrying, and that's not where God wants us to be. So notice the second point, and this is a determined trust or faith in the Lord. Or as we consider this, why should we have a determined trust or faith? Those words are interchangeable. Why should we trust the Lord? Why should we place our faith in the Lord? And we'll see here because God promises and says he has benefits for us and experiences for us as we walk. Notice with him in the Lord. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Well, we were just fretting over evildoers. That's the natural tendency. But he says, because I'm involved in your life, because you are my child, because you belong to me, he says, trust in me and do good. In spite of what everybody else is doing, do the right thing. Don't finagle anything. Don't try to get advantage over anything. Listen, trust the Lord. If you're trusting in the Lord, you're not trying to manipulate anything. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But listen, we don't want to get caught. The world tries to take advantage of things, does it not? Because it knows not the Lord. May that not be said about the child of God. If we're trusting in Him, we don't have to manipulate or maybe hide things or allow things to go unseen and that are not right. That's what the world does. But listen, he says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily, truly, thou shalt be fed. That means God's going to take care of you. God says, if you seek the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness first, he says, I'll add all these things into your life. Isn't that good? Listen, we ought to be willing to trust the Lord more than we trust the government. There are a lot of people that are dependent upon the government. I'm not saying that's a wrong thing. Sometimes there are needs for that. But I dare say a lot of it's taking advantage these days. A lot of the things that are going on has become too dependent on the government and not dependent on the Lord. We have no really occasion. Everything's all right, God, and I'll call you when I need you. That's not the way the Lord wants us to walk in this life. And again, I'm not saying that those things aren't necessary, but we need to be careful that we realize that the Lord is the giver of all good gifts. And so he says, trust in me, and I'm going to take care of you. You're going to dwell, you're going to live in the land, and you're going to be fed. Then he says this in verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. That's something different. You're trusting in the Lord. Now delight yourself. Find pleasure, find enjoyment. Do you think Abraham and Sarah found pleasure in the Lord? When Isaac came along, do you think they were a little bit joyous? Do you think they said, look at what the Lord has done? Amen? Simeon and Anna, when the Lord was brought before them, do you think they took delight in the Lord? And they said, look at the Messiah. I'm ready to go home now, right? Now what Simeon said, I'm ready to go. God's promise has been fulfilled. And by the way, listen, he was filled with the Holy Spirit on his way, right? That event was the icing on the cake, but he was filled with the Spirit of God that brings this joy. And the Bible says that, listen, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. And that was a work that God had to do because, as I mentioned this morning, he did stagger at the beginning. But God brought him to the place to receive and to walk in that truth. Likewise, the same has to take place in your life and mine. We have to call upon the Lord to fulfill his work because we will never do it on our own. And God is not asking us to. And I think that's what's been missing, I think, probably for many years in the hearts and minds of God's people is, well, this is what I need to do for God. Well, what about what God wants to do for us? That's what's really important. Not what we are doing for God, but what God wants to do for us and do through us for his honor and glory. And so he says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Who's going to bring it to pass? Listen, am I making this up? Notice what he says here again. When he says, commit thy way in verse 5 unto the Lord. Trust also in him. Commit your way to him. Lord, I want to walk in your way. That's what the commitment is. Abraham, Lord, I'm having a hard time with this. Look at my body. Look at Sarah's body. We can't do this. So God's saying, I'll do it. God is wanting them to understand, this is I'm giving you the son. I'm promising this to you. Look at the promises of God, and you will find that God wants to perform all of them. We don't have to fulfill any of them. He will do it through us, but we must call upon him and be committed to him and to the way of the Lord. Lord, this is the way you've commanded. I can't walk this way in my strength. Can you? I cannot walk in the commandments of God in my own power. I know that. I need the Lord in order to walk faithfully with him. I've mentioned this to you before. I am one step away from falling spiritually flat on my face and failing God if I'm in my strength. So, Lord, I desperately need you. And so he says, commit, listen to this very carefully, verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Committed, right? Now listen, trust also in him. That's something that's added. You have to, Why are we trusting in him? Because we have a natural tendency to trust ourselves. And I know what I can do. I know I can't do that. Right? Are we trusting in the Lord? Has God put you in a precarious situation? God says, trust in me. Has God put you in a difficult situation? Has God placed you in some kind of a trial? Do you know that God already knows we can't do it without him? Already knows that. And so all we have to do is acknowledge that, Lord, I need you. I can't do it. And notice what it says, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. God is the one that brings it to pass. Very quickly, verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness. Ready? Why? Because you've committed to trusting him. You're walking in his ways. He's bringing it to pass. So verse 6 follows, and this is a conjunction, right? He's still continuing this thought. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness, which really is his righteousness in us. Is it not? We have no righteousness. The Bible says our righteousness are as filthy rags. Even after salvation, our righteousness has not changed. Let me say that again. Even after salvation, our righteousness has not changed. God does not want us to impress him with our righteousness, because our righteousness are as filthy rags, and God has given to us his righteousness that he might glorify and shine his light through our lives. Ye are the light and the salt of the earth, not by ourselves, but by him. So he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Then he says this, look, ready? Verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Isn't that good? If you're resting, you're not doing anything. If you're resting. Is that not true? If you're sitting down and you're resting. If you're working, are you resting? Okay. So, I mean, look, it's so simple. And we overthink it, don't we? That's our natural tendency. And God is saying, I am trying to get you. Question. Did the disciples have any difficulties with their natural tendencies before the Lord, during the Lord's earthly ministry? Absolutely they did. You know, if Peter didn't mess up things enough, then you have the two sons of thunder, and the mom said, I want one on the right and one on the left. And then, how about this one? Which one of us is going to be the greatest? Well, that's really spirit-filled, isn't it? And the Lord was right there with them. He's getting ready to go to the cross, and they're having the discussion, which one's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? They couldn't even, listen, but that's us. That's us in the natural realm. And so he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Oh boy. Wait patiently for him. You know, if we're not careful, we're like Saul. You know, Samuel's not showing up for the sacrifice. I'll just do the sacrifice myself. And God was not pleased with him and missed it. So he says, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. And then he says again, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. Remember, I talked about we see some people. Listen, when people are doing things that are wrong, it's because they don't know Jesus. But what happens, listen, what happens when the child of God does wrong? They're not resting in the Lord. They're not looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. They're looking to themselves. When there's no peace, when there's no joy, correct me if I'm wrong, there's no Jesus. I didn't say you weren't saved. But in your life, if there's no rest, if there's no peace, if there's no joy, that is the flashing lights telling you something is wrong. And that's the opportunity that we have to say, Lord, I need you. But listen, if the oil light comes on in your car, why do they have that? It's too late anyway, right? When the oil light comes on, you don't just keep driving. If the dashboard is showing you a light telling you something is wrong in the car, should you just keep going? Oh, this is better. Ready? Take a little hammer and just knock that little light out and keep going. That'll fix it, won't it? And then you'll be finished. And so God doesn't want us to be finished like that. He says, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Listen, verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself again. Isn't that good? In any wise to do evil. When we are fretting, which doesn't just entail being worried, but being anxious and sometimes angry, then we feel like we've got to give somebody a piece of our mind. That's not a good testimony. It is in this regard. It's a good testimony, excellent testimony of the work of the flesh. No spirit of God in that. See, we're not to be angry. And so, Lord, you need to bring these things to pass in my life. Verse 9, as we want to see the end result here. So God says, listen, I want you to look to me. You're going to deal with all these natural tendencies. The evildoers are out there. But listen, be determined to put your trust or your faith in the Lord, who's going to bring these good things and take care of us to pass in our lives. And why should you look to the Lord? Why should you not fret yourself? And why should you keep your eyes on the Lord? Look at the end result of what takes place in life one day. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off. That's from this life and from eternal life. But those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Listen, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth. Does that sound familiar? Listen, and shall delight themselves, listen, in the abundance of peace. Again, if there's no peace and there's no joy, and you've got to be honest with yourself. Don't justify yourself. That's not going to bring you to the Lord. Can a man justify himself and stand righteous before God concerning eternal life? Can they say, look, I'm not a bad person? We're born wrong. Our nature is all marred because of sin. No man will be able to justify themselves before God. Neither will the saved child of God without the grace of God, without the righteousness of Christ. Listen, the righteousness of Christ is not just eternal life. The righteousness of Christ is the working spirit of God in us. And so very quickly, and we'll finish up here. He says, verse 12, in fact, verse 11 again, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just. This is what they do. And gnasheth upon them with his teeth. The wicked do that. So don't be surprised. Jesus said the world hated me before it hated you. And if it hated me, it's going to hate us as well because of the light that we bring, because of the light that's supposed to be in us. Verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. This is the judgment of God. They shake their fist at God for so much time, and then they're going to meet with the righteousness of God. Verse 14 and 15, these are the last two verses. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be as of an upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. This is what God says is the end result of those who deny the Lord. You know what the Lord is saying? Don't walk like them. We've been redeemed. We have the promise of God. We are the children of light. We have our Heavenly Father that provides all good things for us. Why would we live like the world? You know what happens when we live like the world? We're saying, I don't trust the Lord. I didn't say you weren't saved. When we try to provide things for ourselves, we're saying, I don't trust you, Lord. And listen, we will live a life of fretting and worry and anger and discontentment. Because contentment can only be found in the Lord, the rest of God. So as we consider our text tonight, God says, you don't have to be like those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been given eternal life. You've been given a new nature in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, experience, call. Listen, look at the promises of God and consider your life. You know what you're going to find? I think you'll find what I found. Here's what I find. Ready? When I look at my life and I look at the promises, I see a contrast. When I look at my personal life, I see deficiencies when it lines up, when I look at the Word of God. So God says, don't try to fix those things. Bring them to me. I'll fix them. He says, listen, call upon me. Look, those promises are from God to you and me. Take God at his... Look, Lord, you promised that I could be holy because you're holy. You've promised that I could be a royal priesthood. Can you be a royal priesthood all by yourself to honor and glorify the Lord? I can't. Not a bit. And God says, if you'll call on me, he would what? He'll answer and bring it to pass. He'll answer and bring it to pass. And the wonderful thing is he says, I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So tonight God says, fret not thyself. I'd like to do that. How do I do that? Call on God. Call on God. Would you stand? As we go before the Lord, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, that we have to come into your house. We thank you for your word, the understanding that it brings. And Lord, this time of the service is your invitation that we might call upon you, that we might acknowledge the truths we've heard tonight, that we might consider ourselves and come before you and say, oh Lord, how I need you in my life, that you might be honored and glorified, and that I might walk in your promises. Bless each one here tonight, Lord, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.